Chapter 1. It was a good Monday morning to begin with. The Hoffmans slugging it out again. Dr. Palma on the phone with a suicidal ex-patient. The Coles' maid getting it off with one of their vibrators. Leslie and Phil meeting in the laundry room. And then it got even better. McAvoy came into the lobby with a woman who looked like Thea Marshall. The same oval face, the same dark hair. Obviously, she was there to look at 20B, repainted the week before. He watched them ride up in the number 2 elevator. She was beautifully built, tall and bosomy in a good-looking medium-dark suit. Threw a glance his way, then stood with a hand on her shoulder bag, watching McAvoy spieling about the central air conditioning in the Pog and Pole kitchen. 35 or 36, a strong resemblance. He put the 20B living room and bedroom on the masters and watched her come into the foyer and across the bare living room, her heels twanging on the parquet. She looked good from behind, too, as she went to the window and stood facing out over the lower buildings across Madison. "It is a glorious view," she said, and her voice, melodic and throaty, echoed Thea Marshall's. He couldn't spot a wedding ring, but she was probably married or living with someone. He was going to approve her no matter what, of course, assuming she decided she wanted the apartment. He crossed his fingers. She turned from the window, looked around, smiled, raised her face. Coming closer, she looked right at him. Thea Marshall looked right at him, knocking him breathless. "What a lovely light," she said. The shallow glass ceiling dish was sculpted in Art Deco curves. In its chrome center, her small, raspberry-clad reflection hung face down, looking at her. "Isn't it?" Mrs. McAvoy said, coming up beside her. "They're all through the building. Truly, no expense was spared. It was planned as a condo originally. The rent is a bargain, considering." The rent was high, but not impossible. She walked back toward the foyer, turned, surveyed the room. Freshly white-painted, 20 by 22, the window wide and large, the floor parquet, a pass-through to the kitchen. If the rest of the apartment was on a par, she would have to make a decision then and there, first shot out of the classifieds. Did she really want to leave Bank Street? Go through all the hassle of moving? She went on to the foyer. The kitchen was handsome, tan laminate, stainless steel, fluorescent lighting under the cabinets, appliances trim and foursquare, good counter space. The bathroom beyond it was glitzy but fun. Black glass walls, black fixtures, chrome hardware, a large tub, a stall shower, tube lights by the over-the-sink cabinet, another chrome-centered Art Deco dish in the black glass ceiling, smaller than the one in the living room. The bedroom at the end of the foyer was almost as large as the living room, freshly white, too. The left-hand wall all accordion-doored closets. Another wide window at the back. Another great view. A slice of the yellowing park and part of the reservoir. The roof of a Gothic mansion on Fifth. More than enough space for the desk against the right-hand wall by the window, with the bed, of course, across from the window and facing it. She sighed at her upside-down self in the ceiling light, at Mrs. McAvoy waiting in the corner by the door. "This is the first apartment I've looked at," she said. Mrs. McAvoy smiled. "It's a gem," she said. "I wouldn't let it slip through my fingers." They went back into the foyer. Mrs. McAvoy opened the linen closet. She took another look around, thinking about her beautiful apartment on Bank Street with its high ceilings and working fireplace, and its rock club on the corner, its roaches, its 2 years of Jeff and 6 years of Alex. "I'll take it," she said. Mrs. McAvoy smiled. "Let's go back to my office," she said. "You can fill out the application, and I'll put it right in the works."